Hello, my name is Brett Statham. Welcome to the Particle Photon Weather Station video series. In this series of videos, we're going to walk through taking a particle photon microcontroller, a DHT11 temperature and humidity sensor, some services up in Azure along with Power BI, Node.js, and .NET to create an awesome IoT solution. This is the first video in the series. It's part one of six, overview and event hub setup. You can grab a copy of the slides and code that you need to follow along with this video series from the URL on the screen. It's aka.ms/PPWS. That's short for Particle Photon Weather Station. I want to start out by giving you a big picture overview of the architecture that we'll be building through this series of videos. As I mentioned, we're going to be using some resources up in Azure. Specifically, we're going to start out with Azure Service Bus. And within Azure Service Bus, we're going to be using Azure Event Hubs. And Event Hubs give us this really powerful way to ingest possibly millions of messages per second into Azure so that we can consume them and do something with it. And where we're going to be generating those messages from is a particle photon. Now, the particle photon is just one of the many, you know, sort of dev boards that's out there. There's Arduinos and Raspberry Pis and Intel Edisons and more. The photon's cool, though, because A, it has Wi-Fi on board, so we can use that to connect to the internet. And also, Particle, the makers of the photon, include access to their particle cloud on the back end. And the particle cloud gives us a great way to allow our photon to interact with the rest of the world. In fact, specifically, we're going to be setting up in the particle cloud a webhook, and that webhook is going to act as a middleman between our photon and our Azure Event Hub. In fact, we'll go hook up a DHT11 temperature and humidity sensor with our photon and deploy some code onto it that takes some sensor data and publishes it up to the webhook, which then forwards it off to Azure Event Hubs. And at that point, we'll have messages waiting in Azure ready to be consumed. So we'll really look at sort of three different ways of consuming those messages. First, we're going to start out with a stream analytics job that takes the messages out of our Azure Event Hub and forwards them off to a Power BI data set so we can build visualizations and reports up in Power BI. We'll also take a look at consuming those messages from a Node.js client application, and then we'll also take a look at consuming them from a .NET client application. Now, to kick this off, in this first video, we're going to be looking at configuring that Azure Service Bus namespace, as well as the Azure Event Hub. Now, before we get started creating resources up in Azure, there's a couple other things we ought to figure out. First, we should come up with a good name. And you'll notice that in the architecture diagram there, and I've got a smaller version of it there on the screen, there's a bunch of resources that we're going to create up in Azure. And when we do that, we need to give them all names. So in the diagram, I've sort of prefixed all those names with this little angle bracket name, angle bracket placeholder. And it's my recommendation that you come up with a consistent prefix to use for those names. And that's going to help you identify them later on so you can clean them up. It'll also help make sure that you understand sort of why they're there and what their roles are. As a recommendation, you might think about using something like maybe PPWS, short for Particle Photon Weather Station, and your initials. So for myself, maybe, you know, PPWS, BSS or something. Now, you can really name them anything you like. It's just a good naming convention, as I say, will help you identify them and manage those resources more easily. Also, your Azure Service Bus namespace and your Azure Storage account name have to be globally unique because they make up part of a globally accessible URL. So whatever you use, you'll need to make sure that you meet those uniqueness requirements. And a naming convention like that kind of helps you do that. So anyhow, use the name that you like, but I'm going to be using PPWS BSS as my name prefix as I create resources going through these videos. You also want to make sure to create all your Azure resources in the same region or data center. And that's going to help make sure that A, there's low latency between those services. So for example, as Stream Analytics is consuming messages from your Event Hub, it can do it very quickly because it's in the same data center. It's also going to help reduce costs because as data leaves a data center, you pay data egress costs. And by keeping all your resources in the same region or same data center, then there's no egress costs. And then lastly, I just wanted to point you off to where you can learn more about Azure Event Hubs. So as the slide says there, Azure Event Hubs is a highly scalable publish-subscribe service that can ingest millions of events per second and stream them into multiple applications. You can follow the URL on the screen there to go learn more about those. And with that, let's jump into the demo and get busy creating our Azure Event Hub. To kickstart this demo, I've got my browser opened up to just azure.microsoft.com, and it's from this page that you can get to all the documentation and pricing on all the Azure-related services. But for now, I'm just going to go follow this link into the portal, and this will take me into the Azure Management portal. Now, if you haven't already logged in, you'll be prompted for your credentials, but I have, so it brings me right in here. And this is the current version of the Azure portal. However, the Azure Service Bus namespaces and event hubs that we need to create aren't currently supported by this new portal. And just to show you that, if I were to come down and browse the different types of services, and I'll just scroll down to the S's where Service Bus namespace would be, you'll see that Service Bus namespaces has this sort of shortcut style icon sitting next to it. And that's to indicate that we need to open that up in the classic Azure portal. Similarly, if I scroll up to the E's for event hubs, we'll see they too need to be managed in the classic portal. And I can tell that because that little shortcut icon is sitting there. So I could just click there. Over here on the dashboard, I've got a link off to the classic portal, so I'll click on that. You could also, of course, just go to manage.windowsazure.com and again, log in with your credentials. So once that portal's opened in the catalog of services over here, I'm going to scroll down to Service Bus. And I see that I don't currently have a Service Bus namespace, so I want to create one. I'll just click on Create a New Namespace. And my namespace needs a name. And if you remember, we talked about that naming convention, and I said that I was going to use PPWS for Particle Photon Weather Station and my initials, BSS, and then the kind of resource. This is a namespace, so I'll just do NS. So that's the Azure Service Bus namespace name that I'm going to use. You'll need to choose your own. And notice also that this does make up part of a globally accessible URL, and so it validates to make sure that that name is valid and unique. For the type, I'll choose messaging because we're going to be using this for event hubs and messages coming into those event hubs, and we'll leave it at the standard messaging tier. And for the region, remember I mentioned picking a region and sticking to it. I'm going to use West US. Again, you can use the region of your choice as long as all the services are in that region. But this looks good to me. I'll go ahead and hit the check mark to create it. And this shouldn't take too long, more than just a couple of seconds, to activate this namespace for me. All right. And there we go. So now I could drill into that namespace, and you'll notice that we have a number of different services, queues, topics, and relays. I'm actually going to be creating an event hub, and when this namespace is first provisioned, it doesn't yet know it can do event hubs here. So I'll just move off it and come back in again. And notice that now Event Hubs is visible for me. So I'll go ahead and click into Event Hubs. And again, I see that I don't currently have any Event Hubs. So I'm going to go ahead and create one. I'll just hit Create a New Event Hub. And I've kind of got two choices. I could do custom create, and custom create would let me set a custom number of days that messages are retained, as well as a custom number of partitions that are used within this event hub. But I really just want the default, so I'm going to do quick create instead. And again, I need to use my naming convention, PPWSBSS, and this is my hub. So I'll do hub for that. Good. The name looks valid. And again, I'm going to use this in the West region, and it's going to be within that namespace that I just created. So everything looks good. I'll just create the new event hub. Fantastic. So there's my new event hub. I see that by default, it created four partitions. Partitions, at least initially, have primarily to do with how many parallel readers can be consuming messages out of your event hub at a time. So with four partitions, that means I could spin up maybe four different threads in my consuming application or run four copies of it across different workstations. For higher volume degrees of messages and higher needs and parallelism, I'd want a larger partition count. So that's something to think about as you're provisioning your event hub. Once you've created it, you can't change the partition account. If I drill into the event hub though, under the Configure tab, I can see also how many days messages are going to be retained. And that's important if you have readers who aren't constantly connected to your event hub, but might be checking in periodically. So I know that as long as they do it within a day, they can still get all of the messages. So there's a couple other concepts to cover here. First, on this configure page here, I see shared access policies, and these really help me manage access and permissions to my Event Hub. I want to set up a different shared access policy for each different kind of application, as well as possibly each different kind of device that's going to want to connect to this Event Hub. So for example, let's say that I knew I was going to have some management app. So I'll go ahead and create a shared access policy for my management app. And the name's just a name, but it helps if it identifies what it's for. And if you're running the management app, you're going to need permissions to not only send messages or listen for messages on the Event Hub, but to actually manage the Event Hub as well. So I'm going to turn on the check mark for manage, and we'll see that send and listen are implied if you have manage permissions. So if you come in as the management app, those are the permissions that you'll have. Of course, I also know that later on we're going to be using Stream Analytics to connect in and read messages or listen for messages coming in out of that Event Hub. I know that we're going to need one for my Node client to be able to connect and listen. And if you wanted your Node client to also be able to send, you'd want to turn on send permissions on there as well. And then we're also going to have our .NET client, going to have a need. Again, we'll go ahead and give it both send and listen permissions there. And then lastly, we're going to have the actual Photon device that's publishing through that webhook. And we're going to be calling that webhook publish to Event Hub, and I'll just add on webhook there. And again, this is just a name, but that makes it pretty obvious what this permission is for. And that webhook only needs permissions to send into the Event Hub. So these are the different shared access policies. Now, notice that right now there's nothing else on this page, but once I hit save, it'll actually go create those different shared access policies for me. Awesome. And now if I scroll down, I actually have this access key generator. So I can pick the policy that I want to create a key for. Say, for example, the publish to event hook or publish to event hub webhook. There we go. And in order for that webhook to connect, it's going to need to know one of these keys, the primary or the secondary key. And if it does, if it has one of those keys, it can come in through this publish to event hub webhook door, and that's going to give it send permissions into the Event Hub. Now, the reason that there's two keys is so that I can do rolling key changes. They both offer the same level of access. It's just I could give the webhook the primary key to start with, and then maybe a month later, switch it to using the secondary key, and then regenerate the primary. And then a month later, I switch it back to the primary one and regenerate the secondary. So I can sort of flip back and forth between these keys and make sure that I'm keeping fresh keys out there and keeping old ones from being exposed. So the other core concept is around consumer groups. And consumer groups is also related to reading applications. So if you imagine that I have Stream Analytics pulling messages out of my Event Hub and publishing them up to Power BI for visualization, I don't want that to take messages away from my Node client application. I don't want them conflicting with each other. I want both apps, and in fact, add in the .NET client, I want all three apps to be able to get the same messages. So to do that, we have this concept of consumer groups, and each consumer group gets its own snapshot of the messages. So I'll create a consumer group here for Stream Analytics to use. I'll also create one for my Node client. And I'll create one for my .NET client. Awesome. And I'm going to go ahead and just dismiss these completed notifications here. But so now basically as Stream Analytics is set up, I'll tell it, hey, use that consumer group. And so it'll get the Stream Analytics copy of messages. I'll similarly tell the Node client to use that consumer group and the .NET client to use that consumer group. And that'll just make sure that they're not taking messages from each other. They get their own snapshot of the messages out of those four different partitions that are available on my Event Hub there. All right. Well, in that demo, then, we created our Azure Service Bus namespace, and then within that namespace, we created our Event Hub. And so now we have a spot where we can start sending messages in securely, because remember, we created those shared access policies, as well as ways to receive messages through those same policies, as well as through those consumer groups and the partitions that they snapshot. So in the next video, we're going to come back in and start working with our Particle Photon. First, we're going to go in and create an account in the Particle Cloud that we can use both to develop code, but then also to claim our Photon. And then we'll set up our Photon. We'll get it connected up to the Wi-Fi network and claim it so that we have permissions to deploy code to it. So with that, I look forward to seeing you back for part 2.